Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
E niente da fare. È palo. E il Milan vince il trofeo Silvio Berlusconi. Errore di Samuele Birindelli.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Serie A Spotlight. We're your hosts Matt
and Jake.
Today we'll be bringing you guys a Milan special. We're joined by two lifelong Milan fans. Now, typically, we're very inclusive and we talk about Serie A and all of the teams, but today we're doing Milan. That's basically it.
Yes, we've got Benji Flynn with us.
Hi guys, I'm Benji, 25, here to talk about Milan, but also roast the shit out of Inter.
And we've got Luca Panzavecchia.
So I'm Luca, also known as Panz, 24 years old, been a lifelong Milan fan, and my hot take is that CDK is the worst player I've ever seen wearing a Milan shirt.
Fucking hell. The question is, will he be the worst player that has ever worn the Atalanta kit?
Big claim. We'll find out.
Do you think...
Oh, I'm already screwing up. I got my age wrong.
What did you say?
I think I said 25.
I think so.
Whatever.
It's okay. So we'll start off with that now that you raised that point. Do you think that CDK will succeed at Atalanta? Let's ask Flynn first.
I mean, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. But it's unfortunate that it didn't really work out with us. You know, I mean, all of us, I guess, had really high expectations, especially considering that last year he was the, you could argue, only real major signing that we made.
Yeah.
And even at the beginning of the season, you know, how it started, at the beginning of last season, rather, how it started, he did show, you know, those couple of flashes. The Bologna game comes to mind, the home game. I was recently seeing the highlights of some of the Champions League games, even against Salzburg away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a couple of moments. But, you know, not everything works out. I mean, even if he was to go there and be a success, I don't think it would be that great a tragedy, because with us, I don't think... I mean, even with this 4-3-3 that we're playing with, I don't think he's going to find his place, I guess. But I think, I mean, he could, just to, like a last point, I think he's a good player. You know, he's still very young. I think he's only turning 22, 23 this year. So, and, you know, the Atalanta doctors give him a bit of encouragement, as they're known to do. I think he can succeed there.
Yes. Mm. The story might have been different if that goal hadn't been cancelled, right? That goal he scored was unjustly cancelled. But anyway, Panz, what do you think?
I think he's a quality player. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for players at certain clubs. I think he's still very raw. I think the formation we play doesn't really suit him as well, as Ben said. I mean, I think he will come good for whoever he ends up playing for, but I think I'm actually not sure if he has what it takes mentally to be a top footballer, because I mean, in today's game, you kind of have all the talent you want in the world, but if you don't have the right mentality, if you're not able to take bad performances in your stride, I feel like you can become a good player, but I don't think you can become an exceptional player. And as we saw at the beginning with Milan, I mean, he was good. I think he had an assist against Bologna. Yeah. He was playing well. Even I remember him coming on in the first game of the season against Udinese, and they seemed like very solid, creating play, taking
flashes,
on players,
right?
Flashes. And it just was a downhill slope as the season progresses.
It had become so sad. You see the fans like cheering him on, trying to motivate him, and he's clearly just fucking up, and everyone's just cheering him on to try to give him some, like a little bit of an injection of confidence, but he just never got it.
I think he's better suited for Atalanta. If you look at them systematically and you look at the players that have succeeded in the same position that he plays in, like, we can't help but look at him and think Ilicic, no? When you think of the size and the nifty footwork, it's kind of like what Ilicic brought, maybe a sweeter foot to Ilicic's game and better vision. But Charles, if he's molded into that Atalanta number 10 role by Gasperini, I do think he can have a higher ceiling at Atalanta than he would at Milan, especially with the 4-3-3 as well. And a criticism that I saw about Pioli recently, I'm kind of going to jump into something else, but still referencing this, was signing a new player and instantly starting him off in a brand new position. So for Pulisic, for example, who's a left winger by trade, it's been rumored that he's going to start as an attacking midfielder for Milan. It's been rumored he's going to be a right winger, and he's only played on the right wing for Milan thus far. Same thing with Charles, is he was signed. Was he signed as a right winger? Was he signed as an attacking midfielder? He was replacing players in both roles. There was a time he even slotted into a false nine role. So I don't think there was that stability for him. And I don't think it's all necessarily his fault.
If I can add something,
please.
I feel like he's kind of a victim of his own position, because it's kind of like he doesn't have his own position. Mm. Kind of like how like Kai Havertz is. And maybe Thomas Muller, but he sort of adapted his himself to be the best at that role. But I think he's still, I'm not sure if he's better suited as a cam, as a right winger, as a false nine, as a striker. Yeah. And I think something key to him succeeding in his career is finding out what position he's best at and really trying to develop his game there.
Exactly. Otherwise, he's just utility. You sign him as a player with versatility, and you just pop him in wherever you need.
Exactly, exactly.
So enough with the old, let's focus more on the new, right? Who are the top three Milan signings that you are most excited to see so far?
Shall I start?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go Chukwueze. I think Milan have struggled so much in the right wing department that bringing in a right winger of that caliber is a great sign. So Chukwueze for sure. I think Reinders has shown us exactly what he's capable of. I think he's a very, very nifty, talented player, and I think it's an upgrade. I think we will see halfway through the season that it's an upgrade from Tonali, especially output-wise. And then I'm torn between a couple, but I'm going to say Pulisic just over Loftus-Cheek, simply because we know his ceiling, and we know that there are 5 matches in the season where we're going to consider him to be among some of the best players that Milan have at the moment. So I'll say those three.
Cool. Flynn.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, just based off the couple of games I've seen. So, I mean, I didn't see much of preseason, but I saw a bit of the Barca game and all last night against Monza. And Reindeer, for me, has looked really, really good. I think the success of our team this year will, okay, the attackers and you know, we're all hoping that they can produce and we can be a team that scores a lot of goals. But I think in that midfield position, him and Loftus-Cheek together, if they hit, I think we can really be a dangerous team. I mean, now, like Reinders, the way he can play the ball, the way he's direct, you know, he receives it and goes, wants to push forward, you know.
He glides. And
with those demons we have on the wing, you know, Chukwueze and Leao, who probably are good for 100 meters more than football. It's a player like that who can start the counter, you know. He can, I think, really bring something to us, you see. You know, I mean, all of them, to be honest. I mean, it's always nice to see new players join. I mean, there are many. Do I think they're all hit? I mean, I hope they do, you know. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess, to who will be the best and who will be the next De Ketelaere.
Yeah, exactly.
Pond.
I'm going to hop on the Reinders bandwagon. Nice. I think he's fantastic. I think that we had a problem last season with keeping the ball in certain games. Like, I think of the many games we played against Inter, and we just couldn't gain control of those games. Even the thing is that with Tonali, as much as I appreciated him as a player, I think he's fantastic. I think he was worth the 80 million that Newcastle paid for him. Like, I don't think he's technique wise, I don't think he's as good as Reinders could be, at least. He's more of a sort of workhorse type player. And sometimes, despite all the good he's done and the goals he scored and the assists he's given, he would be one of the players that would tend to lose the ball a bit more cheaply.
Yes.
You don't see that with Bennacer, for example.
When we switched to a 3-4-3, Tonali seemed to be the worst player on the pitch in midfield. You think of the Sassuolo game, the Udinese game, the Lazio game, and the Inter game, Tonali couldn't string a pass together. And he was often compared to Pirlo. I compare him more to Gattuso for his industry, personally.
He was unrecognizable in those games.
And your other two, brother?
Chukwueze, easy one. I mean, he seems like an electric player. Can't wait to have a sort of actual decent right winger after enduring the torture of watching fucking Messias. Salamaka is good, but still, I don't think he's good enough to be a starting right winger in a team like Milan. And I'm gonna go for a bit more maybe controversial one. I like Musa a lot.
Really?
Okay.
Cool. I like what I see. I think he could be the long-awaited replacement for Kessié. Find it maybe a bit symbolic that he chose number 80 and Kessié was 79. Maybe would be one up. No, but I think he's great on the ball from what I've watched. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen much Valencia play, but I mean, I've seen around 20 minutes of him play, like on YouTube, and even though he's a more box-to-box type midfielder, from what I've seen, I think that he has the ball control and the press resistance to be placed in a pivot.
He's very versatile, and that's what coaches appreciate about him. He had about six coaches or something in a very short span of time or something. And he burst into the scene at 17 years old, into the squad of Valencia, but then didn't really cement himself into the team for a while. And apparently he was excluded for technical reasons from Valencia, which I find a little bit worrying personally.
But
in Jerry we trust, in Milan we trust.
No? Exactly.
What about you?
Me?
You're
a top three, bro.
My top three? All right, I'm going to go... Okay, Reinders, I'm very excited to see. I'm very excited to see what Ruben can do as well off this streak. And I'm going to go for Okafor, man. Because I don't quite know.
No one's mentioned
him
yet.
Yeah.
He needs a bit of a gamble.
Yes,
a bit of a gamble.
But he's very versatile as well. Like, he can play on the wing, he can play striker. I'm curious to see what a striker who can run in behind can do, because we haven't had one of those in so long. Like, who was the last striker we had who was capable of running in behind?
Carlos Bacca.
No chance.
Rebic before he became horrendous when he used to play striker, I guess. But
Castillo
at Old Trafford.
Castillo at Old Trafford. Jesus Christ, what a fever. I think. Shout out, by the way, to Romero.
Oh, yes.
Romero as a utility player to bring on at the right wing in the 60th minute is going to be very, very nice, man.
Yes, I have a feeling he's going to be more important than we think he will be.
And it's also worth pointing out, since we all mentioned, and you're the only one that mentioned him in your top three, Jake, in my opinion, the best preseason out of the Milan players, out of the new ones, was Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah.
I think Loftus-Cheek looked really, really tidy. In the last game against Monza, he was everything in that midfield. Reinders had a good game, yes, but Loftus-Cheek, physically and just his presence, he was everywhere. He covered every plate of grass that there was.
He's a beast. I don't think there's a player quite like him in Serie A right now.
No. I like a player with a similar style to him was Sergei. And now Sergei is gone.
Exactly.
Do the injuries and consistency records concern you?
Yes.
Right?
No, I mean, that's why we've bought all these guys, no? I mean, look at it this way. If, God forbid, touch wood, Leao is out, now there's Okafor. And Pulisic as well, who can play there. If Giroud is out, there's Okafor, there's... Columbus still there. Origi's not going anywhere. Even on the right, you know, we say Chukwueze. There's also Pulisic is going to play there as well. There's Salamaka is still there too and has experience in the league. I mean, so hopefully for once in our lives, we don't have to deal with for having four or five players out. But at the same time, if that were to happen, we should be covered, you know. I mean, hope again, it goes back to the point of you know, hoping that they all hit and that everyone can find their place in the team. But I guess that's what made Inter great towards the end of last year was their depth,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and what needs to make us and what we lacked and what we should have addressed and I think have is the depth issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Maybe Pioli will make substitutions with having decent players on the bench.
Yeah, hopefully one more striker will come in and the centre back.
And the centre back. Because I've heard rumours about Caldara, and that's the last thing. That is the last thing.
How have we had so many Simics, by the way, and none of them are related?
It's true.
We've had so many Simics. Like since I was a child, there was a Simic.
That's true. I remember one of them won the Champions League.
And then we had one who was young. He had an amazing friendly game. And he said something very controversial, some legendary shit during an interview. Like he said something like Forza Milan, blah blah blah. I don't know what the hell he had said. And then he dipped, he vanished, and now we have another one out of nowhere.
This guy is quite the real deal.
He's good, the centre back.
I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He looks very composed. So, what would it take, guys, for you to sell Rade Krunic?
a plan on who's going to replace him, first and foremost. A plan on using the money wisely. When it comes to his value, I wouldn't value him any less than 25 million.
25 million?
Today's market. 25 million.
Bro, you know how much McTominay and Maguire are going for. Like 80 million combined, bro. Krunic is a quality player.
Would you rather? He is a quality player.
But Krunic not sit up.
Hopefully, yes, I agree. But 25 million is...
Look, I'd accept 20 for him, but... There needs to be a plan on the replacement. I feel like he's way more important than people give him credit.
Yeah, there is supply and the demand. When we look at what Milan struggled last season, like we're talking about, when it came to Bennacer and Tonali playing together in that double pivot role, how Tonali kept on giving the ball away, there wasn't enough physicality, although they both are very industrious players. When Milan struggled throughout that period, Krunic came in and he tidied up that midfield. Mm-hmm. With his physicality, we know he can defend, we know he can attack, we've seen him in the attacking midfield role, we've seen him as a left winger as well. I think he is, in a brand new midfield for Milan, he is a midfielder who knows the team, who puts his heart on the line for the team, and I wouldn't sell him for any less than 20, I'd rather have him than 20 million.
Okay. I'm with that. Sorry, but with Bennacer injured as well. Yeah, I mean, then I think getting too much change to a whole part of the pitch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if Bennacer was fit and was playing, I mean, we all know that the midfield will eventually be Bennacer, Reinders and Loftus-Cheek in an ideal world,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how long it's going to be. I've been hearing some say November, some say even February.
He looks good at that, though. He posted some
gym videos.
Yeah, but October, November.
And given the kind of situation we're in, so close to the start of the season, I personally think that it would be a bit, it's a difficult move to do. Mm. And Pioli loves Krunic.
Of course,
as well.
Absolutely.
So you're taking away one of the coach's favorite players.
Apparently his salary demands, no? He's demanding a higher salary.
4 million, I believe.
Something crazy demands. But for me, if Krunic were to go, the only justifiable explanation for it would to bring in a natural six like Maxime Lopez, for example.
We don't really have one apart from
that. No one. I mean, hear me out, Adli.
I don't think he's got the physicality for that position.
No.
Stop making me dream.
there needs to be a crusher. I think, yes, I agree that a vice is needed for Bennacer. There's still work to be made in that position. But I think having Musa as the only real crusher now, right? Bennacer tackles, Loftus-Cheek tackles, but we don't have a Kessié, and that was that's what we lacked last season.
I don't think Kessié was a pure CDM, though. Do you agree with me?
No, he was box to box.
He was a box to box player. Yeah, I mean, he's strong and he could knock you off the ball, but he wasn't that low lying six absorbing pressure part. Like spotting was pretty shit, man. Let's face it.
Not the strongest point.
I mean,
he had many strengths, but that wasn't one.
I think Musa kind of is a more modern, maybe slightly weaker, but better more technical type of midfielder, and he'll help with us controlling games, like I mentioned before. Him and Reinders keeping the ball, I think, will help us dominate possession and just have more of control over games, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We've discussed this briefly, Flynn, before we started recording, but the Monza game yesterday had Giroud on the ground for a bit too long for a preseason game, and it was kind of foreshadowing what we expect to see in a very long and complicated season that's to come, participating in three competitions. Is it really smart to go into a season with Giroud, Okafor, and Colombo as your three strikers?
And Origi, bro.
And Origi, yeah. But let's assume that Origi didn't go to America, no? So everyone thinks he's gone.
I mean, do we need a couple more players? I mean, I wouldn't say no, you know? I mean, if we're going to get another forward, I personally believe we need another player at the back.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple reason that Tomori is looking incredibly shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Thiago, I think, is going to be hopefully the star of the season. Kalulu, again, you know, centre back, plays on the right, or that, and Kjaer is looking older by the minute.
Yeah.
So I think that just one more experienced player at the back, no Serie A, doesn't need to be a superstar, doesn't need to be a, you know, 20 million, 25 million signing and, you know, a lot of hype. It's just a guy who can come in, you know, put in a shift, play 15, 20 games. When you need him, he'll be there. A player up front, I mean, again, same thing, you know. I mean, if we can just get that experienced striker, can come in, contribute 10, 15 goals, you know, 10 goals. To be honest, today is a lot compared to what it was maybe in the past. But again, a striker can give a shift, put in a shift, you know, maybe, or we can get, you know, that sort of Ibra 2011 kind of signing, and then Giroud will be the 10-15 goal striker we can rely on. So,
do you think Okafor would be used more as a striker or as a left winger?
I think he'll have to be used.
I don't think he'll want to be. It doesn't seem like the type of player is going to be third choice striker. No. So that really makes the question if we're going to bring in an extra striker. You know?
I think having Giroud as your main striker only opens the door for Okafor to get minutes in that position. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you have Leao in the prime of his life, like not a single percentage of fucking body fat on him. Mm. You know,
he's
I highly doubt
his shape.
Yeah, he's not displacing him, you know.
Yeah.
I'm still dreaming about that Bolaedia signing, if I'm being honest. Like, I do agree with you in the sense that Giroud is obviously going to be the starting number 9 until Okafor really hits it off in that position, if he's going to be utilized in that position. Now, because there's that if, and if he gets injured, then we'll need to rely on Okafor. Then if something happens to Okafor, there's Colombo. I still think there needs to be more competition for that starting role, bringing in someone like Dia and then utilizing Okafor as a left winger, a right winger, an attacking midfielder, or a striker. I think it is very important for Milan to sign another striker this season, especially we spoke about versatility. I think we need to be more versatile.
Interesting. Okay, very good. The next question is actually about Milan's weakness, but I think we addressed it, right? What is Milan's weakness currently? 3-2-1. Defense, I would say the defense personally.
Well, defending set pieces.
Breaking down low blocks.
Okay. Still, you think still it would be a problem?
I mean, unless I see it not happening in practice, I'm still going to say that's our biggest weakness. And that sort of brings up a point I had in my mind that I really think that the players we signed this season are good. They're a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see this whole algorithm thing working. I think signings on their own, they're good, but as much as I respect what Pioli has done with Milan and how he's changed us from essentially a banter team to actual European competitors, I'm not sure that he has the like tactical ability to move forward with the team. I feel that he's kind of reached his limits with 4-2-3-1. I'm not counting him out yet, but I'm saying that first of all that needs to change. We've seen that how it didn't work at a point in the season and we crumbled and he sort of adapted it a bit. I just wonder if he is the guy to come up with something new, some new ideas that fit the players that we signed. I hope so, but
I think for once in his life he has the tools to experiment with, to try out new systems with. You know, before it was quite limited, you know. I mean, three starters dropped, which was happening, by the way, every month, like every week, rather. There wasn't really anyone with quality to replace these players. But now, you know, there's like a season out, a finish outside the top four is purely on Pioli.
No, he has nowhere to hide.
You guys think that he's on the hottest seat in Serie A at the moment?
Yes, 100%.
With the transfer market.
I mean, I don't think anyone's come close to us in terms of signings or money spent in Serie A.
Well, when you consider the fact that one of the reasons Maldini and Jerry didn't see eye to eye was one was predominantly Pioli in and the other one was Pioli out, he's on the hot seat. This year it's make or break for him. Now I know he won the league with us, but like last year when we played against Inter, now you could say, okay, we didn't have many players on the bench that are real game changers, but when you need two goals, you haven't scored until the 70th minute and you still don't make a change, and the game against Monza last night, 70 minutes preseason game and you still haven't made a change, and then Giroud and Theo go out limping. To me, his in-game management is the place where we need to see significant improvement. Mm-hmm. Now he has the tools. If he can utilize them, then I can't fault him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, throwback to the Champions League semi-final when we were how many men at Joseph's screaming for a change. Yeah. Screaming for a substitution.
Someone predicted the exact substitution that happened.
A shout out to Joe.
Shout out to Joe.
He's shown to be stubborn, and that's exactly my point.
Yes, and I think Lautaro scored shortly.
Minute 75 or something it was, bro.
But yeah, I have a hypothetical for you guys.
Okay.
This is about a fan favorite, Maignan.
Let's hear it.
Let's say Maignan next season, so in 2 weeks' time, exciting, suffers another 2 month long injury.
Don't say that.
Does your opinion of Mike change?
Yes. In the sense that we know what it's the classic scenario with a star that's injury prone. You look at a player like Gareth Bale, for example. When they're fit, they're among the best in their position in the entire world, and I genuinely believe Maignan is up there, and he's essential to Milan's system as well. But you can't have now. At least Milan have Sportiello instead of Tatarusanu, which is a massive plus in case we need a vice, but it shouldn't come down to it. He's a goalkeeper. Now, there will be rotation with the cup. Maybe there will be rotation in some Champions League as well, because Sportiello is no joke in that sense. But if he's injured for another 2 months, it doesn't have to be Mike. It can be anyone who's that injury prone. To me, it calls for a reshuffle. And he's expensive, so you could make good money from him.
For a goalkeeper as well, it's not usual that... I mean, they suffer these kind of injuries. I mean, you can't have it happening the third year in a row. I think that would ring alarm bells. And
as in WhatsApp of March and February, March and April 2021 doesn't allow me to have an opinion on Maignan.
He's a Donnarumma apologist guy.
But no, seriousness. I mean, we all know the quality he has and how important he is, even from a build-up perspective, and how he, even his, I mean, just his leadership alone, you know, that kind of, like, his balls are as big as a cow's.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, it would be a pattern, and we thankfully now have an experienced reserve, but I don't want to see the reserve. I want to see we have, you know, three players who are the best in the world, or one of the best in the world in their position. That's Maignan, Theo and Leao. I want to see them every week, you know?
Yeah.
And it will be a pity, a great, great pity, if again, you know, we have to go through another Maignan-less period. And it will start, you know, putting questions into people's minds, and it'll be unnecessary, because we all know his talent, and the only thing holding him back would just purely be injuries, which is a real shame.
So, agreed.
Where do you put him? Top three?
In the world.
Yeah, in the world.
That's summer, bro.
Hilarious.
I'd put him in top five best keepers in the
top
world.
Top five.
I'd put him top three. I'd put him top three simply based on his presence. You don't find that in a keeper much. Mm.
It's crazy, yeah. So, and his confidence is next level.
He's impressive, honestly.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And it's a pleasure to have him at Milan, obviously. Now, do you think that being owned at the time by Elliot, who also owned Lille, had something to do with Milan's acquisition of Maignan? Or do we not talk about that?
Let's not bring these conversations to light, because you know what happens when they're brought to light.
Certainly helped.
Serie A shouts for three seasons in a row.
Okay. No.
We needed some help. Not every single team can offer, if they're paying 100 euro for a player, they can offer a 2 million euro loan, a player from their Primavera, which they value at around 18 million, and then promise to pay the rest of the amount of money next year if they decide, with the buyback option on the player they would have loaned. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Exactly, yes. And, and there are many of them, right?
There are,
I mean, Napoli sent youths to France whenever even set foot in France, bro. These players spoke in an interview, they've never been to France.
But spying under the radar, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But anyway, next season, fast forward, the next summer market, right? Let's say Milan need another sacrificial lamb, another Tonali-style sacrificial lamb to raise some funds. Who would you... Well, who would pain you less to see leave?
That's an unfair question.
Tomori.
Tomori. For me, same. Tomori.
I don't think that... Tomori is strange. When he joined Milan, I was like, this guy is the fucking real deal. This guy is going to be incredible. But I don't know. It's either he got found out. I believe his game is a bit flawed. I don't think he's maybe tall enough to be a top center back. He's fast and he has other attributes. And I think one of his main downfalls is his concentration. I don't feel like that was a thing in the first season, but last season and even the season before, we didn't see that reliable, you know, every game he's going to be a top player, Tomori. And that makes me question it.
The classic case in point of what you're saying is that game against Chelsea where he gave away that ridiculously stupid penalty.
And then did it
soft call. Let's be honest, it was a soft call.
But you shouldn't
You don't put two hands on the player when you're right behind him in the box. Like,
world-class players don't get that affected by emotions, you know?
Now, a point about Tomori. I agree with you guys that he would be the sacrificial lamb, but just to stand up for him over here and say that he is the best centre-back at Milan and he doesn't have that other centre-back to look up to, someone to lead by example. You look at all of the greats, you look at, for example...
I think Chan was going to have something to say about that.
In the near future, yes. But my point is, Tomori is leading by example, and he didn't have someone to lead by example for him, with the exception of Kier throughout a certain
period.
Kier
is no Maldini, let's be real.
Exactly.
So
I don't think he had a direct mentor.
For me, the transfer window, or transfer market rather, is so unpredictable. I mean, can we honestly say that at this point last year, even with all their money, and whatever they have, that Tonali would be at fucking Newcastle.
Yeah, who they are. I mean, who
would have mocked the race?
Who would have predicted that? So we really don't know what's gonna happen. You know, I mean, it's so unpredictable. So it's hard to say who we're gonna sacrifice, who will leave. For all we know, and I mean, hopefully Tomori will have his best season yet.
Yeah, I think it's quite do or die for him.
Put crazy the season behind you. You know, now you're the leader. You've been with us for a long time, and you can just go on and play your game. I mean, we all know he's one of the best defenders in the league, and he's got nothing to prove, in my opinion. He just needs to play himself. You know, play his game rather.
But of course, you take into consideration the fact that he's English, so it raises his value a little bit. You know, you can rip off the Patriots.
How much is your word, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I think you could make...
For a Premier League team,
40 million.
I think the way they spend money on players.
Maguire's going for like 35.
If you've got a team that plays three at the back, Tomori, I think, would be insane. And a three at the back for him, you put him on Atalanta, Tomori, he's going for 80 million.
The doctor's cooking him up.
He had a great game against Spurs. I think he won man of the match when we played at three and at the back, I think.
He did a job
on Kane. So, I mean, when... Mentally, I think if he really puts his mind to it and becomes a bit more consistent, he can be up there. But we'll see.
I think he's got that dog, which is the best dog part to his game, but it's also the worst part of his game, having that dog.
Did you guys see that viral picture of Leao, Giroud and Theo at the gym?
Yeah, I did.
You did? You know, the one where they're all shirtless and they're flexing and they're all jacked out of their minds?
Yes.
Who would you pick for your girlfriend to spend the night with?
Bro.
No.
Oh my God.
On her likes and dislikes.
I feel like I would choose Theo.
Nah, man.
Just because
and she'll never be the same,
and
bro.
Listen to me, she'll go through shell shock for a month, and she'll barely speak. She'll be like, no, leave me. I don't want to talk about it. And then you'll get her back, but she's definitely not going to be into him after having sex with him, because he'll destroy her. He will destroy her. Look at Giroud, she might fall in love by looking into his eyes. Leao, like, look at Leao, he's fucking gorgeous.
You can't do with your
Leao, you might as well.
She's never looking at you again, man.
You might as well send her on the front line.
No, I'm gonna say Giroud because he's a family man. He's respectful, Christian. You know, he's a good guy all around. You know, I want what's best for her.
So. I agree. I think Giroud has the best values. I think he'll be the most respectful before and after. You know, he's not gonna. He doesn't even have that dog in him, you know.
So, he's a gent.
I would trust him. I would trust him the most, at least from the three.
That's great. Great answers.
Who would you choose?
Who would I choose? No, I think. I'd have to go with Giroud as well.
I'm not going Theo at all, bro.
Theo.
She's not going to be into Theo.
He'll change her forever, bro. Let's just say that.
Look, she might build some tougher skin after being with Theo for a night.
But anyway, bros, those are my Milan questions. I have a few questions about other non-Milan related things. But before we move on to that, do you have anything you'd like to say about Milan? Any hot takes? Any observations, opinions?
What I can say is that I haven't been this excited and curious for the season in a long time. I think we all remember the Yong Hong Lee transfer market, and I don't know, man. It can go anyway. I'm just excited for the ride, and
the summer started with Maldini leaving, Ibra's retirement, Tonali being sold, and ended up with, you know, 8-9 new players and Jerry watching Jennifer Lopez dancing on the table. So I mean, listen, I mean, just my opinion, the team is there, you know, we, for the first time, I think, can have a really sense of optimism where I think we can say, you know, safely say that we are one of, if not the best squad in Italy, and let's go, you know, and let's bring on anyone who comes. I mean, we have a really difficult start to the season. You know, the first Marotta cooked in the in the calendar. Gosh, where the first six games, I think we have 4 away. We have to go to Rome. We have the derby.
We're in for one.
So it's gonna be a very difficult start. Like I said, I think Pioli is on a hot seat. But I think, especially yesterday, it showed that there's a team spirit. You know, everyone who's there is happy to be there. There is quality, and we've retained, you know, we've lost, but we've also retained, you know, our important players. Mm-hmm. So let's go, you know, I think we can compete with anyone, and we should aim this year to win things and right the wrongs of last year.
Can I add something to what you said? Who do you think is the best squad on paper in this area, on paper?
Us. Us.
Look, in terms of squad value, I do believe we're probably the most valuable squad right now.
Yeah,
I think market would confirm that.
Honestly, two more acquisitions for Inter and they're closer.
You can't not replace Skriniar, man.
I want to say something about Inter. The only thing I'm going to say about Inter, I'm going to go on a rant for 2.5 minutes, and that's it. I've been proven really wrong about what I'm going to say, but it's killing me is seeing Pyongyang Gazzetta dello Sport praising them all the time. Inter have lost all of their goalkeepers. They've lost their best centre back, their best one of their, I mean,
their
top,
best midfielder.
Top two in the Champions League final, he was their best midfielder.
Yeah, sure.
Okay? And up front, they lost 2 out of their 4 options in Lukaku and Zeko. Now, they bought Sommer, they bought
Thuram,
they bought Frattesi, Bissek, and whoever the hell you want to improve, we want to include.
Cuadrado,
whoever they want to improve. If you go position by position, right? Goalkeeper, who have the better one? Milan, no one's going to deny that. At the back, okay? You have Ciao, who's emerging. Tomori in his prime. Teo Hernandez in his prime. Calabria has been a veteran for 10 years. You have Calulo as well, who's good. Kjaer, even though he's maybe on his last legs, he's experienced as the captain of Denmark still. Inter, who do they have? A 37-year-old Acerbi. You know, they've Rai, who was looking on the down. Bastoni is great. You know, I'm gonna deny them that. Could Bissek be Ciao? You know, that is their gamble. And Darmian, who I appreciate a lot, is a good player, you know, and but again, 38 games in a season, is he going to be the game changer? In the middle, I think they're solid, you know. I won't go into the number 20, but you all know how I felt about him before. So, and up front, if Lautaro Martinez gets injured, as he was today in, for their friend that he didn't play, who's going to score for them? Uh-huh. Who is going
to
score for them?
They're interested in I'm going to try to say his name.
Balogun.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Seems solid.
So
he had one good season in France, no?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Inter are a good team. They've bought good players, but with all due respect, if they're going to say, last year they were really good and they made the Champions League final. They made the Champions League final. They beat Porto, Benfica and us, okay? And us in a crap run of form. And with the only player who can make a difference out, okay? So if they don't even know how they beat Porto and Benfica, fine, they beat them, brilliant, well done, all right. Champions League final, they played well, good for them, you know, but they still lost,
mm-hmm.
all right. This team, you know, they're saying Brozovic won't matter because Cianoglu played there for all last season. They lost 12 games in the league last year. Everyone keeps forgetting that they did a month.
Facts.
They didn't win a game. You know, so I'm not saying they're a bad team. I don't think they are. I think they're good. You know, I'm not going to say that. And if they get this Balogun and if they get whoever and Demiral, I think is being mentioned, can they be equal to us? You know, yeah. I think so. But I really don't believe that they are head and shoulders the favorites to win the league. They might win the league and I might be proven like a real donkey, what I'm saying. But. And they obviously, on the flip side, have the four games home to start. I think in the first 10 games, they played three teams who finished in the top 10 last year. Wow. So they have a nice, cozy start to the season. So, but if you're telling me the squad, okay, no, I don't think there is a team with our depth, with our versatility, and with the talent that we have. We have the best player in the league, we have the best goaler in the league. Pilot Fanta Calcio defender, we have the one everyone wants. So my 5 minute rant or however long this has been is over. I'm gonna take a break for
I think Onana was so fundamental to their play, like the Champions League final. It was pinging 60-yard balls, you know. I think Delphine is lost. And one more thing is that Marcus Thuram, I'm not trying to say this out of spite because he did the whole snake thing, you know, but look, the guy is like 25, 26, he's never had a season with more than 10 goals, I think. So
he's my age and he scored 30. I'm 27, so this year he scored 30 career goals.
I mean,
you're gonna hang your hat on that.
You're gonna replace
27 this year
in my age.
You've been lying to me
this season.
Everyone's like, how old is this guy?
A thing of mystery.
Okay. I think Milan have the best squad. If you're looking at a squad of 20 people,
can't forget
and
Napoli.
You're that's exactly the point I'm about to make. You can't forget Napoli.
But Kim, will Kim be a massive loss for
Kim and Spalletti?
Kim and Spalletti, massive
losses. Yes, but that team wasn't just Kim and Spalletti. That team have two of the most devastating players in the league. They've got a player like Zielinski, right wing. Insomma, quite similar to Milan in the last two seasons. But you can't see the way that they blew everyone out of the water. It's the same 10 people that did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
The same 10 people on the pitch. I don't think that we can throw Napoli away because of these two
changes. Spalletti was so key to the way they play, the way they dominate games. I feel like on paper, losing Kim puts them a bit down, but then we can't forget.
I don't think you should throw away the reserves as well. You know, I mean, everyone says, Napoli don't have anything, but
they do.
You know, I mean,
they do.
Raspadori, Simeone, Elmas, they are superstars, but they're
great. When Elmas comes on, he's super nifty, on the ball.
Elmas he looks great.
Now they have a year together as well, where they achieved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're still there. They're still good. I think Roma are an interesting team. You know, they still need a forward, I think.
Uh-huh.
And they're not really spending as Mourinho likes to highlight. But, you know, if Indica hits and Awar and the players who they have brought in, they could be a bit of an interesting team. Maybe not to win the league, but definitely.
I think Mourinho's tactics are outdated.
Yeah.
I think don't feel like he has
but he can get top four domestically with the way he plays.
I don't Roma don't worry.
Juve just got in way, so then Juve, they
got no one, it's true, but with this exact team last year, they on the pitch they finished top four.
Yeah.
They finished second as well.
Yeah. Do not one game a week as well.
Yeah. So yeah.
Do not forget that aside from us, Atalanta have had the best mercato this season.
Scamacca, El Bilal Traore,
and there was another one.
Potentially the Catalare.
Yeah. Potentially the Catalare. No, Atalanta will be strong.
They brought in Bakker on the left.
Bakker is the one. Bakker as a left wing back. I feel like that's somewhere they lacked ever since losing Gosens. And by the way, look up Bakker highlights.
And Kolasinac.
The way he and Kolasinac.
Ah, there goes Kolasinac.
The way that Bakker runs is like nothing I have ever seen before in my life. He's like a crab.
Yeah.
He runs sideways to the ball, bro. It's the most odd thing. You watch his highlights and you see.
Atalanta always have that thing, which you know, punts can say the technical term as a medical man. You know the. What do they give? What do they inject them with?
Steroids.
That doesn't sound like fancy word, which only
the word isn't coming to me right now. they give them some fucking potions over there, man.
It's like
crazy things.
It's
man.
Similar to I think what the Germans used to give to the Nazis.
It's what they called. Built Captain America with.
Let's not say anything that can get us here.
Crystal meth is what I'm saying.
By the way, it's El Bilal Toure, not Traore. That's a,
close enough.
That's an edit. That's where we'll go back and edit it.
No, the overall point is that the league is open, right? I don't think there's one clear-cut favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say Inter have problems, Milan have problems, Juve have problems, Napoli. But I think, honestly, I think we have as good a shout to win the league as anything. Now, if we do that, I don't know. If we have a brand new team, brand new system, it's very difficult for the team to gel. You know, this is strictly on paper. We know that counts for nothing. But why shouldn't we be optimistic? You know, what reason do we have? Even in preseason, you know, even though we haven't won games or blown away teams, it's looked solid. You know, it hasn't looked phenomenal, but
the thing is, what I worry is that progress. I've never seen a team sign six, seven new starters and instantly succeed. Think of Milan when we did that crazy transfer market. Think of Monza last year. I mean,
Monza top 10 finish.
Yes. But think about how they started the season. I think they were in the relegation zone for most of the first half of the season, and they really picked up. I do feel that a big part of football is gelling and having a certain understanding of your teammates, and that really makes the season a question mark for me. I think on paper we do have what it takes, but I feel like that aspect shouldn't be taken for granted at all.
I don't think it's going to be instant success for Milan, and I think we'll see a slow start if we win the league or do very well. It will be towards the latter stages of the season when the team has gotten used to each other. But with that being said, I'm relying on Pioli in order to start inserting these players slowly and introducing them in a comfortable way for them to be confident. So starting with Giroud up top, you know what I mean? Starting with Krunic in the team before moving Pulisic to the attacking midfield role, for example. I think it's going to take a lot of work to kind of start, because some of these players haven't even had a full preseason with the team. Mm-hmm. So it's important to start with some rotation, and then we brought this Okafor on 10 times. He seems to be really effective to the team. He's doing great things for the press. Okay, start him next game.
Yeah.
And it moves in that system. But if we're to start with all these new players starting instantly, that's not going to be a successful
season. That's why we should keep Krunic, man. Mm-hmm. I think simply for that reason of even the dressing room figure, I think at this point he's quite a figure in the dressing room. You know, he's been there a while.
He's the last itch.
He's what? Yeah. Like,
the last fourth
captain, maybe?
Honestly. It's always a good sign. And it's a sign that you're a top team when players come in and they need to earn their spot.
For sure, man.
If you come to a team, you arrive at a team and you're in the starting 11 immediately, that doesn't motivate you at all. If you're coming on and you're getting 10 minutes here and there, and then you start the odd game in the Coppa, you really feel the pressure to impress. And I think that's the most important thing that Pioli remembers over here. Don't just throw everyone out there. And I'm sure he won't.
I'm sure everyone will go crazy about it.
Pioli isn't playing the best players.
On that note, he hasn't. He's shown in the past that he does maybe take a bit longer than you would expect to integrate new players.
I think he's always, apart from CDK, Pioli, look at Ciao. For example,
Ciao, he took
long to introduce him, but Ciao in Germany was considered to be an error-prone defender.
No,
in Germany. When Pioli decided to utilize Chao, he always played incredibly. He was ready.
It's true. The same I with Gabbia. Bad word to say about.
Same with Gabbia. When he utilized Gabbia, he was good.
We're gonna need to be patient. I mean, exactly. I mean, I'm not on other teams' Twitter or X as I'm not on other teams' X. But like us, you know how everyone goes nuts on and starts criticizing online and the media love criticizing us. And it's gonna take time, and we're gonna have to be patient. And there may be that odd crappy result every now and then, but it's just a question of I think weathering the storm. And if the team settles, as I hope it's gonna settle, I really really believe strongly believe that we are one of the best teams, if not the best team in Italy at the moment.
So who are your top four for next year? Let's get that out there, because there's no right answer, obviously, but
us, Napoli, I think Juve and Inter. This is my hot take for the year. If Inter stay as they are, if they don't get another striker, they don't get another defender, and Skamardzic, their Primavera player, doesn't keep calling their problems, whatever. But I think they will be a challenger for top four. I don't think they'll be. I think the league this year will be between us and today on the 9th August at 20 past 8. Right? Yeah. For me, the top two are the champions of last year and us.
I'm going to be a bit of a madman and exclude Inter from my top four.
Ooh.
I think Lazio shouldn't be ruled out at all. I think they've made some smart signings. Like
they
Kamada.
Lost the best player, yeah?
They did, it's true, but
Sarri ball.
I trust Sarri, and exactly, Sarri's teams age like a fine wine, and I feel that he's really got the gears going. I mean, this team was phenomenal last year for the most part of the season, and on paper, I don't believe that they are even in the top four on paper, but the way he has them playing, bar when they played against us, and we spank them basically. I think Milan will be in the top four, so I'm not giving any particular order, because I think it's impossible to say. But Milan, Lazio, Napoli, and Juve. That's what I think. And Atalanta fifth and Inter sixth.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one. It's a really difficult one. I think Atalanta will make top four next season.
In place of who?
But that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lazio,
something, maybe. Yeah, in place of Lazio, but then I also have it.
So, I mean, the two Roman clubs and Atalanta are bloody dangerous. So it's tricky, man. I have
a feeling it's gonna be in no particular order. Juve, Milan, Inter, Atalanta, dude.
Juve, Milan, Inter, Atalanta.
In no particular order.
No Napoli, bro.
No Napoli. I have a feeling. It's not gonna go as well for them with Rudy Garcia.
You saw
he played Raspadori in a double pivot in a friendly last night.
That's absolute insanity.
Yeah. But we'll see. I don't know. They might turn on him to play.
Gvara, Osimhen, and Leao.
And we don't know what Osimhen's
top three players in Serie A. You know, they have two of them for me.
Osimhen's been the whole Saudi thing has been mentioned for a while.
I don't think he'll go, but
I highly doubt
it.
He seems. He's a man from a humble background, huh? The chance to make literally every person has ever met in his life wealthy might sway him. Because when you come from humble beginnings, you really see how important money is.
You know, I would have liked that, though. I would have wanted to go, even in terms of quality of Serie A. I feel that,
of course,
we can't be losing our best players like that.
I'd like Osimhen.
We really did lose quite a few, I think, this transfer market.
Of course.
Guys, just as a side note, we're losing to Trento.
Oh, what's the score? Top four, baby.
We're losing to AC Trento 1-0. I think we just conceded 5 minutes ago.
Who scored?
We're playing a strong team, though.
I mean, all the players didn't play yesterday, but I think we actually lost. No, we lost to Trento, not for losing.
Okay.
Sipos scored.
Signed him up.
Heard it here first. Seriously.
And you want to hear something interesting?
Please.
Kamara played. You know that like
come on, the
come
kid,
on, the 14 year old, he played like 10 minutes.
Oh my god,
just that type of game. Yeah.
He's played more in preseason than Origi.
Literally.
Origi, the next cockroach. The next Bakayoko. Literally. Need to see it.
He's just going to sit around, no?
Let's be real. This is one of the faults of Maldini, and he wasn't perfect as much as I respect him as a man and as an icon.
Let me tell you, he was essential for the pull power when Milan didn't have much going 100%.
I don't like the way his exit was handled at all. But I do believe that maybe in today's game, for example, we'd never have sold Tonali. And I do think selling Tonali was in our best interest. And I do believe that the players, we got to make us a better team than we were last year. Even though maybe we didn't sign anyone at Tonali's current level. But just having that depth, you know, does make us a better team.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I agree.
For my top four, I have question marks regarding Inter, considering their mercato. But I think Inter will finish in fourth. I think Juve will finish in third. I think Napoli will finish in second. I'm going to say that Milan, it won't be a landslide victory for Milan by all means. I think it'll go to the final day, but I think Milan just nick it over Napoli.
Mental, huh?
Atalanta
we'll
fifth.
See. We'll see. I have a few non-Milan related questions, guys. Which non-Milan related departing player will you miss most next season?
Sergei,
you know, I agree with you. It's definitely Sergei.
Has to be Sergei, man. No one's like him, like we said before.
Followed by Vicario.
Oh my God, yes, those two.
You guys, do you have anyone that you enjoyed watching that's gone?
I think Skriniar has a big loss in terms of quality of the league. Brozovic too. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel that the league has lost anyone on SMS's level. I feel that hopefully someone else steps up and sort of fills those shoes. But I do feel that as a league, I mean, it's the best it's been in a while, you know, even competitiveness. You have six teams fighting neck and neck, and it's impossible to say. I mean, you could say the Premier League has sort of something similar going on, but I mean, the City have been dominating, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
But so, even in the top five, expenditure-wise, Serie A was second to the Barclays. So,
I do feel like we are on the rise.
I'm going to miss Tatarizar.
He's making bank. Saudi Arabia.
The guy's making
1.8 fully deserved.
He deserves every cent of that money, man.
For that Lautaro
penalty. Not for last January.
No. He had an astigmatism. We don't blame him. Which non-Milan related arrival are you most excited to see? For me, it's Big Scammy. Scamacca.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, when we were linked to him, I thought he'd be like an Immobile kind of player where he stupidly left Serie A, where his place is in Serie A.
Yes.
And, you know, Immobile, when he came to Lazio, he ended up being their all-time top scorer. I think Scamacca, you don't score 18 goals for nothing, you know. Exactly. There is some talent there. So, I'm sorry, I don't know how many had scored 17, 18, but whatever.
But everyone at West Ham said he was a misunderstood player over there.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think he's that's probably a really good shot.
I would agree. Scamacca, particularly at Atalanta. I feel like when it comes to bringing the best out of players, Atalanta excel at that.
I'm also really excited for summer. So, for a particular reason.
And Palms.
I like Aouar of Roma.
Oh, yeah.
He's a player we've been linked to in the past, yes. I think. There's a point to prove. I mean, I think 5-6 years ago, he was considered to be like one of the next big players. Hopefully, Roma don't play the classic terrorism ball. There was a game against Milan last year. I think we played them at the Olympico where it was a tough watch, you know, time-wasting. But I do feel that he's maybe the player that they need, and I do think that he's going to shine this year.
Yes. I watched that game on my phone in Crete on a bus.
I'm sure you regretted every minute.
I regretted every minute, and I wasn't looking out of the window, and the nature was beautiful, and every time with the nature, I was very frustrated because the internet would cut.
Not to mention, bro, how you watched the World Cup final. No, was it not in a Jeep in South Africa where it was pissing down?
No, I was in a Jeep on a safari. I told everyone on the Jeep not to talk about the final. We went to the hotel after when the World Cup final had ended, and I texted you, and you sent me a link of the replay with no spoiler in it, and I spent till like 3 in the morning watching it, not knowing who won.
What a game, dude. Do you know what the only game of Milan I missed last season was?
What?
Milan 4. Sorry, Napoli 0, Milan 4.
Bro.
That was... I was in... You know, I spent a month in Australia this year.
Yeah.
And I was waking up at 4 a.m. to watch Milan.
Shit at that time.
Yes, man. I was constantly waking up at 4 a.m. to watch Milan. I watched all of the games.
I remember.
There was one time we were in this hotel room in Cairns. And there was no Wi-Fi, no reception, no anything. Yeah, I woke up at 4 a.m. to watch it. I woke up at 3:30, like, trying to make it work.
You couldn't make it work, right?
No. And then I set an alarm for the second the game ends. I woke up, I see Napoli nil. I'm like, okay, that's great. Milan 4. And I lost my mind.
Fuck,
literally, man. Literally.
I don't think you should watch another game next season. Yeah. Sure. So, guys, for those of you wondering where Flynn is, he's gone. He had other plans. Thank you very much for coming, Flynn. We appreciate you. Your football opinions are amazing. You're very rational. And you have this deep hatred towards Inter that that's very funny. And it's fun. Yeah, it's just fun to listen to. Guys, we spoke about who's getting top four. Who's getting relegated next year?
Now, I'm probably going to get this wrong, right? But I have a feeling, okay? My feeling is that despite Frosinone coming first last year, I think they go back down to Bem.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cagliari and Genoa survive. I think having Serie A pedigree is very important. So I think they stay up. I have a feeling Empoli gets relegated, and I have a feeling that Lecce gets relegated. So Frosinone, Lecce, Empoli.
All right. I think personally that it's going to be Frosinone, Lecce, and Cagliari. Because Cagliari have Lapadula and Rog out, man. Long-term injuries. And Lapadula is a guy you want to start the season with to give you confidence. So unless they bring in someone capable, I don't know, man. It's not looking great for them.
No, that's true. That's true.
All right.
I don't see Frosinone staying up either. I think poor guys will get sent right back to B. Cagliari, not looking too strong. I mean, I think they need some work to be done, and I don't really see Lecce staying up either, to be honest. But let's hope we have another good relegation battle like we did last year. I mean, last year we can't forget the drama of the Spezia against Verona, man. That
playoff
stuff
finally.
Was crazy, and I like how they added that because I don't think any other leagues in Europe have that.
I don't think they do. I really enjoyed that. I was
what a game! What a game!
It was
man.
Great.
Suarez handball off the line of who was it?
Yes, bro. Who hands it off the line?
Suarez
in that
what,
game.
What are you talking about?
In the playoff final.
Ah, right? Oh my God, Faroni, bro.
Faroni paid off,
but it doesn't pay off. He looks like a right knob, man.
speaking of right knob, yesterday I uploaded questions on Instagram and they've expired and I can't see any of them.
Oh my God.
Speaking of right knob, but I remember one of them and I remember who asked it. We'll do this one. All right. This question was asked by our boy Luca Borge, and he said, what's it like losing to Inter 4 times in a row?
Luca Borge, the Inter fan?
I guess so.
I know Luca. I used to play at Melita with him.
Luca Borge 97, Italian/Maltese.
Yes, Luca. Shanna Alval Madonna. We used to have proper swearing banter together at higher secondary. Right? He's a top guy. He's a thank you for listening, man. It sucks, eh? Well, what can we do about it? Next year will be a different story.
But then again, I do feel that they deserve to win those games. I mean, they simply outplayed us, and I hope that purely does something because we always struggle against them, man. I mean, I don't think we play well against 3-5-2s in general.
No.
And I don't know, man. I hope maybe the new set of players just combine in different ways, and I haven't seen us dominate a game against Inter in ages.
No.
I mean, even when we won 3-2 in the beginning of the season, they scored first. Uh-huh. And I can't remember a game against Inter where they didn't score first. I think the last time it happened was when Ibra scored that doppietta.
Remember?
The season where we finished second. And got the Champions League for the first time after so long.
Uh-huh.
I
have to respect the way that Inter have played football since their Conte days. Like they play a great brand of football. They're quick transitions from defense into attack, especially with Barella back in the day, Brozovic as well. they're spectacular. Yesterday when we were watching Milan Monza, there was a quick passage of play. Like, I believe Leao played it back to Loftus-Cheek, and Loftus-Cheek played the first time ball through to Giroud, and Giroud just didn't get there. But the passage of play was really smooth and really nice. And I looked at Jake and I said, we looked like Inter there. Mm-hmm. And it was a compliment to the way Milan were playing football. Yep. We looked like Inter.
I mean, a few teams played the 3-5-2 as good as Inter do.
Yes, yeah. And I think the way Milan have spent in the market, okay, it's from experience out of Milan not succeeding with their 20 players. But I do feel like this idea, when we came up against Inter and we lost four times, whatever, last year, literally four times.
I do feel like that played a big part.
Yes. And I think we looked at them, we're like, these guys are getting stronger with each substitution they make, and we're getting significantly weaker.
They had the bench, you know. I mean, Lukaku, okay, now he's the joke of football right now, and I don't think I disrespect the guy, disrespect what he stands for. You know, he pulled a fast one on Inter when they were the ones to give him a second chance.
Literally.
But I mean, they bring on Lukaku, they bring on Correa, who I don't think the Inter fans particularly love. He's a bit of a banter player for them. But I mean, we've seen what he's capable of. He's a good player. He's effective, you know. And they bring on these guys, man, and see Milan bringing on Messias, you know, Salamakers. Yeah, I do feel that depth played a big role. But something I didn't mention before is that I do feel like in this transfer market, Milan decided to sign players that are versatile and can play a number of positions, which really leaves the door open for Pioli to experiment a bit. For example, Pulisic, man. He can play left wing, he can play cam, he can play right wing. Okafor, left wing, striker, you know. I mean, our midfielders can practically play every role. I mean, Krunic can play as a pure, as a mezzala, he can play as a CDM, Benacer too, Loftus-Cheek too,
as well,
Reinders too, Musa too. I mean, I think this interchange, players can interchange, switch positions, it can make us less predictable, and I think that was something which was specifically sought after when deciding to sign the players that we did.
Completely, yes, man. Yes. Completely agreed.
Very true. I don't really have any more talking points apart from the fact that Buffon has finally retired at the tender age of 45 years old. What he was doing in Serie B wasn't exactly crazy.
I feel like you do have to let go at a certain point. I do respect his love for the game, but sometimes you have to
I was sure he'd do a year in Saudi Arabia.
He should have. Get a bag and you're on your way. You know?
Do you know a fun fact about Buffon? Is that he had an ex-girlfriend. Well, obviously, Buffon's a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, hung like a horse. He had an ex-girlfriend. I swear to God, he had an ex-girlfriend.
This was on
a magazine, bro. Magazines, like the Match magazine and stuff we used to read back in the day.
What did the guy do?
His ex-girlfriend said that she was begging him and convincing him to become a porn star.
Ah, yes.
Well, he didn't.
And
bro,
I'm the porn hub.
You never know, man. Maybe some...
Well, Dele Alli has one.
And Giroud has a photo.
But speaking about Buffon, man, I mean, I respect what he's done in his career, but come on, man. I mean, as Milan fans, you have to always keep in mind that Montari fiasco, and that does make him lose a bit of credibility in my eyes. But at the end of the day, I'm sure Juve fans respect what he's done, and the guy lived and died for the badge, so I do understand it, but I mean, it's always going to leave a sour taste in us Milan fans' mouth, you know.
Longevity wise, you look at a player who's more decorated than Buffon, is Iker Casillas. At the age of 33, he was done. Buffon was
Casillas never had that. Oh God!
Fucking fireworks!
Casillas didn't have the mental strength Buffon has. I believe. I think as a shot stopper, he's on par with him. But as a complete goalkeeper, Buffon had the whole package. Casillas didn't.
For sure.
Yes. Castrovilli's knee has stopped him from making a move to Bournemouth, and probably no one will buy
him. That's huge. Yes. I rated the guy a few years ago, but I think he's gonna end up as one of those Andrea Pauly type players, you know, who just slowly fade out and end up in the lower teams in the league, you know.
Yes. And finally, Juve fans have a message to Lukaku, which basically says, stay in Milan. We already have a third keeper.
I love that one, man. I love it.
It's so good.
roasted.
Like. And apparently the guy has been negotiating with Juve for around 3 months.
Before the Champions League final.
It might happen genuinely, yeah. Mm-hmm. But now maybe the fan pushback, apparently spend their last
friendly game. They're right, man. They don't blame them, you know.
Of course. Selling Vlahovic to bring in Lukaku.
He's a mercenary, man.
Granted, it might get you a top four finish, but it's not good business in the long run.
I think maybe Lukaku suits Allegri's play style a bit more.
Yes.
The guy likes to absorb pressure and try and break on the counter. You know, Allegri was never known for his beautiful football. And I don't think Vlahovic has that kind of pace which an Allegri striker needs to have.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
For sure.
So anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. We have been Serie A Spotlight. Thank you, Luca Panzavecchia and Benjamin Flynn for joining. You were great. Thank you. We really appreciate it. It was great fun. Remember to follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook. We're actually using Facebook nowadays. We found a way to sync it to Instagram. So like it's doing its own thing.
You don't have to follow us.
YouTube, leave a comment on Spotify. There's a new feature at the bottom where you can leave a comment. Just write down Forza and your favorite team or whatever. And feel free to reach out to us. We have Patreon. You can become a patron to join our WhatsApp chat. Please do that. And the usual begging and everything.
You want them to do something else while they're at it, bro? Doing all of these things? Yes, is there anything else you want them to do?
Join our fantasy football league. We have one slot available. You can join by becoming a patron.
That slot, unless anyone takes it from our Patreons, you can feel free to jump in for that. Pants, another Fanta Calcio.
How many are already involved in like one? You're in one.
I think you're in one. The other one's a separate league. And then top five and top five will be amalgamated into Serie A next year. Bottom five and bottom five will be Serie B. So if you want to join another one, if none of these legends.
It will be my debut in Italian fantasy football, but if I have enough ball knowledge to be able to compete.
Yeah, I think you will, brother. But thank you very much for listening, guys. We've been Serie A Spotlight. We love you all. And we'll see you when the season starts.
Leave a 5-star rating.